the church.
That sounds like he's a little confused.
Of course, the church does teach you have to be baptized Catholic, and then you're good to go.
Kind of.
Well, she did raise up the question, well, what about those that never hear about Jesus? I said, they don't have to hear.
Oh, he's there.
I said, the Indians in South America in the jungle know about a God through nature. I said, our Native Americans knew about a God through nature. Mm-hmm. They know the right God? You know, that's another question. But I said, this idea that everybody has to hear about God in order to get to heaven is another false teaching, because God reveals himself to everyone. I said, even babies that die on birth, their soul knows about God. And I said, they're born with the sin. As we don't understand, they can accept Christ and get into heaven. They're taken into heaven at that point. They don't have to be baptized to get into heaven before they
children
She's
are more.
She's just sitting there glaring at me.
Golly, man.
Children are easier. They believe easier in faith than we do.
Well, here's
but I do like what the comment that you had said. You know what? And had I been there, I probably would have opened my mouth. But when she said, what about those? And are you going to want to stand and be accountable for them? And the answer would have been no. So then don't worry about the others. You better worry about yourself.
Isn't that funny? But see, the Samaritan woman did the same thing. When
because
Jesus,
they don't want to be the only one going down.
Well, when Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you everlasting. And she says, sir, give me this water to drink. So still not getting it. And Jesus says, go call your husband. And she goes, I don't have a husband. She goes, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And then she goes, sir, I perceive you to be a prophet. And then she goes off into the, you know, you Jews say that we worship on this mountain. Samaritans say we worship on this mountain. It's like when she got that close, she went, what about the Aborigines over in...
She didn't want to face her.
Eventually she did. She came around because she came in and told everybody. She has a veil on her face, Mike. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted. The veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, verse 15.
2 Corinthians what?
5.
Oh.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, I'm sorry.
14.
But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Moses represents a works, you know, if you do everything.
The
you,
law.
Yeah. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So I would really pray for her that all that Satan has put there would be removed. Because she really can't see. She can't
well,
see the truth.
She's hung up on the fact that only God knows who's going to heaven. Who's going to let him. I said, you're right. I said, God knows who's going to come to him. I said, he knew that before time began.
Right.
I said, because he is God. I said, and some people in the Protestant side believe that means that predestination is that only certain people can be saved.
Right.
And I said, that's false too. I said, everybody has the opportunity for salvation. And God knows who's going to come to him and who's not. But that's not preventing people from coming. Saying, well, you know, we've got to... I said, the Bible talks about the 144,000. I said, there's people that believe that there's only going to be 144,000 people in heaven. So I said, you know...
That number's already in. You know, I mean, what's up with that one? You know,
right, that's done and over with. And, you know, so they're saying the door's closed now. And...
Nobody else can get back in?
Everybody else is kind of fighting for another position somewhere. And I said, so that's wrong. They're wrong there, too.
But that's no different than knowing your child is either going to lie to you or going to tell you the truth. I mean, you know up front it's going to be one or the other.
Right.
I mean, you haven't decided for him or her what they're going to do. They have a choice to make, and that's pretty much what it is. God knows, I mean, he goes a little further because he does have confirmation as to who is and who isn't. But it is like that parent knowing that child is either going to tell me the truth or going to lie about it.
Let's look at it like this. This is the entrance.
Thank you.
Says chosen from the foundation. Never look at it from this, because that'll make you crazy. We always look at it from this. And the whosoever ours are those that are chosen. A lot of people do is they try to view it from this way first. Really message it up. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. A lot of theologians in the past and people that have studied the Bible that try to go from this direction, oh my goodness, it just about makes them crazy. A lot of the Puritans tried to do that. There was one instance where this lady, she took their teaching to a logical conclusion. So she didn't know. She said, how can anybody know? Because only God knows the elect. And so she had to know for sure. Because then she at least knows that she was reprobated. Because a true Christian wouldn't throw a baby in the well. Well, the baby was saved.
Oh.
Saved, saved. 1611. Like, this is like back in 16.
Yeah.
Somebody in the well catching.
Well, they jumped in and got the baby. I mean, I laugh, but I really don't, because it's a horrible way to be. This poor woman was saved, but she's looking at it.
Well, how many people nowadays do stupid stuff like that, too?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they do. They kill their kids, and, oh, God told me to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, she was just trying to get some, tired of going, am I, aren't I, you know, I need some proof. How do I do it? Well, if I can throw my baby in the well, I guess I'm not, so at least I know where I stand.
She figured if God threw the baby back at her, it was okay.
Oh. yeah, she goes right, it's like,
yeah. Get it! Woo!
I guess everything's okay.
I'm good to go.
So we were talking a little bit about the Mormons, and I said, you know, they got 7 levels of heaven.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
I said, they could take dead people into heaven.
You know.
She goes, what? I said, yeah, they can believe. They believe.
But you believe
a living
the same
person,
thing. Purgatory.
The living,
you're praying people out.
Yeah. I said, you know, a living person can take a dead person's name, get married to it, and that dead person will be able to get into one of the levels of heaven.
Crazy.
Nice. She goes, so is praying people out of purgatory into heaven. Boy, I got to stare there too.
Yeah.
I said, it's true. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible.
Is she's a Catholic, right?
Oh yeah, staunch.
Then why is she so hooked up on the Mormon?
Well,
stuff?
She was,
that's how it got
she
started.
Didn't know anything about it, see.
Oh.
And I made some comments about what the Mormons believe, you know. But it's like I said, too. I said, you know, we've got no way of knowing of how deep, just because Mitt Romney lists his belief as Mormon, you know, how Mormon is he, so to speak. You still got Mormons, even though the Mormon Church disavows polygamy, you still have Mormons who believe in polygamy and stuff. So I said, you don't really know. Just because somebody says they're a Mormon, where do they exactly stand? I said, they have so-called magical underwear that they wear.
So do I.
And I said,
the garment. Call it right.
But you've seen
Donnie
Marie on TV. She's not wearing any kind of magical underwear.
You don't see it underneath.
Well,
yeah, what's she wear on the outside?
Then it must be different depending on the kind of costume you wear.
They call it temple garments. Yeah, they call it.
She has special underwear that she has to wear underneath every single costume that she wears.
Yeah. So I said, you know, that's
I am the worst draw.
No,
I am the
what?
Worst
no,
artist. It's like birds.
These are supposed to be angels doing that.
Where's the halo? That might help.
I know. I am the worst drawer ever.
But that's the arc of the
company. This is the arc.
Yeah, this is the arc. And this is what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to change the subject now as we go into this. But there is a curtain that hangs over this. Okay? Which, this, what does this represent, Ark of the Covenant represent in the Mosaic Law?
It's God's dwelling place.
Yeah. Who can go in there?
No, but the priest.
Only the high priest.
Oh. Once a year.
And he has to sacrifice like crazy before he can even get in there. So this curtain is here to demonstrate constantly throughout the ages that there is a what between us and God?
A veil. A
separation. when you pray for your mom, the veil is removed, it's like the curtain being torn. And then she can actually walk into God's presence because of the blood of Jesus, which is just unreal, man.
Where is that at now?
This?
Yeah, the artwork.
Nobody knows.
I saw it. A bunch of Germans got it the last time I saw it.
It's being passed around.
Oh, that was a movie. Oops. And their face is melting. Oh, my goodness. I remember that. Why did you have to bring that up again? Golly. That was the worst movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, my goodness. I'm watching this, and I'm going, oh, yeah, they're in trouble. And the guy opens up the thing, and all of a sudden, he goes, bleh! I'm like, really? Oh, man, I do not want to see that.
I thought it was cool with their faces melting.
No, golly, I hate stuff like that.
That was
like,
really neat.
Ooh, I didn't need that in my mind. I can still see it. That's 20 years ago.
Did you see the second one where they were looking for the cup? The cup of life or whatever?
I fast-forwarded that.
Did you?
Now when he turned to dust, yep. I go, I remember the first one. This is not going to end well.
I remember the snake.
My son loved those movies. He wanted
to
be here.
Screaming. I'm like, no, not watching it. I haven't ever watched it. Anyway. This is the,
That was a serious question.
I know it was. it's gone. Nobody knows where it's at. And even if they did, what's the point? We have something better. It's
probably been melted down anyway.
Babylonians probably.
Oh, yeah, I know we do. I was just kind of curious as to where it was at.
They keep looking for it.
I think it disappeared. I think God just destroyed it. But, I mean, I don't know.
Well, wouldn't it make sense, though, upon his death, resurrection, it just kind of
They'd probably make a new
imploded.
One.
Yeah, because, let's see here.
But then on the other hand, if it was just there, and, you know, of course nobody could look on it, touch it, because, man, you were gone. Wouldn't it be amazing if it was there?
Mrs. Kimball here.
And all of that was gone.
Well, what was
gone? I mean, you could touch it now because it was meaningless. It's meaningless.
Oh, I see
what
you're saying.
Yeah, it would be meaningless.
The power of it would be gone.
In Hebrews chapter 9, here's what it says was in that area. It says, behind the second veil, there's actually a couple veils.
Let me get there.
9:3. Got it?
Yep. Here, you can use mine. Mm-hmm. You can use that one. I'll share.
Three.
I think three is there. Yeah.
And the writer of the Hebrews is describing what this thing looked like. This temple, this whole thing. And it says behind. Wow, and this thing was cool.
Golden pot that had manna.
It says, behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had, first of all, the golden censer.
Put that on.
And if you look all the way back in Leviticus, don't turn to this, but back in the Old Testament, the censer was, a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and it just was a, it was like a thing that the incense was.
Was it constantly burning?
I don't know for sure.
That would be a fire hazard.
Yeah, it would.
No, it just smolders.
No, yeah, okay, like, but think on
I
that.
I think they light that thing up. They
okay.
just light it up.
Was that around the arch, or was it in, inside?
See, how could they?
Well, how could they keep it going, too?
Exactly, if they're only allowed in there once.
Yeah, it's got to be, well,
unless they had
all,
gas pipes to it.
Well, it's in the Ark of the Covenant.
Gas pipe.
hey,
well, but think about it. I mean, you touch it, you're dead.
They didn't have gas pipes back then.
Well, maybe they were right over a hole and natural gas.
Larry, this class, whoa, it goes, it's all different directions, man.
They keep the torch running, the Olympic torch is running.
This holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which, so there's a censer that's in there, in which the golden pot that had the manna.
They had cooked bread a year round.
Just to be a, you know what? This they had this pot that had manna that was preserved.
That was inside the ark.
Mm-hmm. So that they could, it was like a, well.
And it could, so that, that's my point. If he could do that, if that ark had that kind of, and not that it was the ark, the thing, but the power behind it, contained in it, could have kept the coals burning.
Okay.
It kept the manna fresh. I mean, it kept the manna fresh.
Yes.
It did not mold, and yet if the Israelites kept it overnight, it was moldy.
It was maggoty.
Yeah, so it, and I'm not making fun now, but there is that power that could have kept those coals going.
Well, Exodus 16:33 says, and Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer, that's a measuring, of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As proof as to how God provided for them.
And that's the one that's in it.
Also Aaron's rod that budded, mm-hmm. and the tablets of the covenant. That's what's in
Ten Commandments.
Yep. Well, yeah, quite a few of them actually.
Well.
Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Now, when these things had thus been prepared, the priests always, notice the word, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services, but into the second part, the high priest went alone, once a year, offered for himself, and then for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit, now this is the Holy Spirit telling us this too, did this to indicate that the way into the holiest of all was not yet available. That's what that whole scene.
Yeah, because Jesus was it.
Exactly. And then as you continue on, and it was even symbolic for the present time, it was gifts and sacrifices that are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience. And then it goes down to verse 11. But Christ, greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not made in this world, this creation, and also not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And so that, let's see. Verse 15, and for this reason he is a mediator of the new covenant, called and received the promise of the eternal inheritance. There's a lot of words that are internal there. Eternal. Let's see if there's one more here. Go to verse 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. When you have a copy of something, I mean, this is like a duh, but
copy.
It's a copy. It's not the real thing, okay? The real thing is really in heaven. And so, on earth, high priests would go into this tabernacle, and they would first sacrifice for themselves, and they would go in and they would sacrifice for the people. But Jesus entered as he died, the perfect tabernacle in heaven, and went through it so that we can also go through the holiest of all. And so the writer of the Hebrews, once again, is going, you got this earthly one, but you got this heavenly one. Which one's better?
They're one and the same.
Well, yeah, but which one's better?
The heavenly one.
Yeah. Why are you going back to this old stuff? Don't go back to this garbage. I mean, it's not garbage, but compared to Jesus, it is.
Oh.
See, that's what the Hebrews were doing. They were drifting back into the old stuff.
People just don't like change, do they?
Man, they really don't. They like what's comfortable. Well, you got to figure, too. Well, Therese, we're in our 50s. Well, I'm not yet, but I consider myself in my 50s. I'm going to be 50 in August. But...
Some of us are not at 60.
Yes. So. Imagine you have watched Mom and Dad, and every year for 60 years, you have watched the whole sacrificial thing, and now there's something new. All your leaders are going, this is the real deal. It's on earth. Tabernacle, the high priest, the covenant, and this Jesus guy is a deceiver. But yet, find out he's not a deceiver. He rises from the dead. I mean, how easy would it be for you guys to change?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've seen something like that, why wouldn't you want to change? Actually,
okay.
Went through it.
But let's put it in more currently the way. Just the difference in how we were raised and how maybe we raised our children and how maybe our children will raise their children. Maybe their view of discipline. You know, that in and of itself is different.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. You jump ship like that as a Jew, Romans hate you because they're pagan. You're God. You got the law here, and everything that has represented that, all the scribes, all the Pharisees, all the Sadducees, all the teachers, everybody. Here you got the pagans. Yeah, they're the Romans. And then in between you got Jesus. This group, if you're a Jew, hates you and excludes you now. This group really doesn't like you. He tolerates you, but they really don't like you. And now you're a Christian. Whew. Man, it'd be real easy to go, you know, obviously not going to go this direction, but... I mean, you're a Jew. Man.
But they actually lived through it and see what he did and what he went through and then arose. So why wouldn't they believe?
Well, a lot of them did. And they were kicked out of the synagogues. They were kicked out of the Jewish, that's the Jewish term out of them. They gather in homes. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you love your life, you'll lose it, but if you lose your life, you'll save it. Believing in Christ meant leaving all of this behind.
You really do lose your life because a lot of your friends don't hang with you anymore.
Yeah.
Why does God have to make it so complicated?
It's not.
Well,
people that make it complicated.
Okay.
It's Satan that makes it complicated.
Okay, I guess that was a silly question.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, not...
It's too simple to believe.
Right.
I mean, it's like...
It's a free gift. It's walk
kinda,
in.
You know, my mom kind of said that. She says, well, that's just the easy way.
Yeah. See, it's so
you're
hard...
You're looking for an easy way.
Yeah. It's so hard to believe, they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Easy believism is not easy. It's so hard that they don't believe it. That's how hard it is. That's when he said, narrow is the gate and few are those who find it. When you look at all of the other religions and you look at all of the other people of all the centuries, of all history, all little gate
and the other
that
thing
Christians
is,
enter through.
There's measurement. You can measure. Oh, I did this good. I did this. I mean, you have something that you can measure by.
You're still thinking that it's not enough.
You're right. But it's something that you is faith. It's intangible. It's what you cannot see. And we can't handle that.
That's why children have a much easier time believing than we do.
Yeah, yeah. And when you come to faith, guys, you know it's right. You're just like, this is right. Whatever condition you were in, you would still come to faith in Christ. You know, when I became a believer, it instantly put a wall between me and my dad. You know, it wasn't like, get out of my house. Like, when I came home and told him that I accepted Christ, the first thing that he said was, you're not in some cult or something, are you? And this is my dad before he's a believer. And right away, it was like a sword went up between me and my dad. Because from that moment on, we thought differently. And that argument extended all the way into my 30s. I remember having it out with my dad. And he had come home, he had been drinking, and he came home on a Wednesday night. And we were living with him. So this was 1999. I became a Christian and you didn't. And I was crying. And he just went, and you know, but it was, you know, I mean, did I get kicked out of my house? No, some people do, but it did. It put a sword, because from that moment on, philosophically, and how you view the world and everything, me and my dad disagreed on. Until he became a believer. And then, you know.
I become a believer first?
When I got saved, my mom was kind of a wandering believer. She had gotten saved when she was young, like when she was like 17. And she kind of had, I mean, she's the one that taught me the Bible. I mean, but when I got saved, she realized, you know, man, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then my sister got brother held out, and there was always a sword between me and my brother, too. You know, we'd get along, but it wasn't until he got saved that he really started to miss me, which was in his 20s.
You didn't spell your own name.
You know, I mean, here's what's interesting. Here's kind of what's cool about this whole thing. You have the Kalmans, let's just do this. You have the Kennedys. You have the Kellys.
KKK!
I should have never been saved. There's nobody who's saved here. I mean, if you look down the generations, I mean, you go all the way back, these guys, they were barbaric horse thieves. Okay, but you had, and on this side of my family, there was suicides and craziness. On this side of my family, very Catholic, of course. This side, barbaric boy who's praying. And so it's like, there's a young man named Mike, all of us. You know, all the kids. This is Susan, Carol, Coral. That's my grandma and grandpa, Bob. I could write this whole thing out. It's really cool to see. The Kalmans go into a totally different direction. Roy has a son named Tom. They're just kind of, just because one man prayed. Thank you. And also there is a godly element that came out of this. He had a daughter from a previous marriage. Or I can't remember her daughter's name. But she's saved. Let's put a missing person. But you see that? Isn't that cool?
Huh.
That's God following the family lineage. This guy also, as weird as it sounds, would pray that out of this family would someday come a pastor teacher. Died. I was still in my teens. Can't remember, but you know, and through that, look at all the people that are being affected. And my thing was, is what would be really cool is to find who was before him. You know, it's very possible that there wasn't anybody here.
Zippo, zilch.
That family line just is funny, but family lines, it's very strange. But it's interesting how they work. There was a study once done on somebody.
Yeah, that Roy, that's kind of this girl right here.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, exactly. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because not only have you touched their family, but you've touched mine.
Oh, well, I'm sure
there's... Yeah, but you prayed really, really hard for me. I mean, really hard.
And it's usually the insignificant that God produces. You know, really when you look at... And if you look at Roy's life, he had a lot of hard knocks. You know? He was battling all the time, and he was half crazy.
Well, Aaron explains it.
See? I'm telling you. It's the same here, man. We're like,
The next time you feel insignificant and you feel like you're not making any difference, think about that.
Well,
right?
There's a lot of people out
there. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it's pretty intense how it works. All right, well, let's pray. That was the last bill. Father, I pray right now for this group. Father, I am so glad that Larry has believed.
Yeah.